Trinadapi sunichena, tarariva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari, harinama harinama, harinamaiva kevalam, kalo nastyeva nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. So we are finishing up the purport to the Bhagavad Gita as it is chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. We are finishing up the purport to text 8 to 12. We left off at the paragraph where it says, naturally, when one is adapted to the spiritual way of life. That is the purport we left off. Naturally, when one is adapted to the spiritual way of life, he will not want to mix with materialistic men. That would go against his grain. One may test himself by seeing how far he is inclined to live in a solitary place without unwanted association. Naturally, a devotee has no taste for unnecessary sporting or cinema, going or enjoying some social function, because he understands that these are simply a waste of time. There are many research scholars and philosophers who study sex life or some other subject, but according to Bhagavad Gita, such research work and philosophical speculation have no value. That is more or less nonsensical. According to Bhagavad Gita, one should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here. As far as self-realization is concerned, it is clearly stated here that bhakti yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the supersoul and the individual soul. The individual soul and the supersoul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception or the devotional conception of life. This service of the individual soul to the Supreme Soul is eternal, nityam, as it is clearly stated. So, bhakti or devotional service is eternal. One should be established in that philosophical conviction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 11, this is explained. Vadanti tat tattva vidas, tattvam yajjnanam advayam. Those who are actually knowers of the Absolute Truth know that the Self is realized in three different phases, as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the last word in the realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, one should reach up to that platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That is the perfection of knowledge. Beginning from practicing humility, up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. This process is just like a staircase, beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now on this staircase, there are so many people who have reached the first floor, the second, or the third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at a lower stage of knowledge. If anyone wants to compete with God and at the same time make advancement in spiritual knowledge, he will be frustrated. It is clearly stated that without humility, understanding is not truly possible. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, "I am God," because of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitva, humility. One should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. Text number 13. We welcome the 16 devotees from around the world who have joined us today on the webcast. Signed in, we have Monica Sharma from Australia, Rohit from Kolkata, and Roxana from Lima, Peru. They are the only ones who have signed in. Gyayam yatat pravakshami yajgatvamritam ashnute anadimat parang brahma nasatta nasad uchyate. Gyayam yatat pravakshami. Let's go, chant. You got to chant, Mahul. Text 13. Yes. Yajgatvamritam ashnute anadimat parang brahma nasattan nasad uchyate. Synonyms, please repeat. Gyayam, the knowable. Yat, which. Tat, that. Pravakshyami, I shall now explain. Yat, which. Gyatva, knowing. Amritam, nectar. Ashnute, one tastes. Anadi, beginningless. Matparam, subordinate to me. Brahma, spirit. Na, neither. Sat, cause. Tat, that. Na, nor. Asat, effect. Uchyate, is said to be. Please repeat. I shall now explain the knowable. Knowing which, you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Purport. The Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field. He has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities. Now he begins to explain the knowable. First the soul, and then the supersoul. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the supersoul, one can relish nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born, nor can anyone trace out the history of the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. The Vedic literature confirms this. Na jayate mriyate ba vipaschit. The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge. The Supreme Lord, as the Supersoul, is also stated in the Vedic literature to be Pradhana Kshetragya Patir Gunesha, the chief knower of the body and the master of the three modes of material nature. In the Smriti it is said, Dasa Bhuta Horer Eva Nanya Svaiva Kadachana. The living entities are eternally in the service of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed by Lord Chaitanya in his teachings. Therefore, the description of Brahman mentioned in this verse is in relation to the individual soul. And when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it is to be understood that he is Vijnana Brahma, as opposed to Ananda Brahma. Ananda Brahma is the Supreme Brahman, personality of Godhead. Text number 14. Please repeat. Sarvatat pani padang tat. Sarvatokshi shiro mukam. Sarvatak shutimal loke. Sarvam avritya tishtati. Sarvata. Everywhere. Pani. Hands. Padam. Legs. Tat. That. Sarvata. Everywhere. Akshi. Eyes. Shira. Heads. Mukham. Faces. Sarvata. Everywhere. Srutimat. Having ears. Loke. In the world. Sarvam. Everything. Avritya. Covering. Tishtati. Exists. Please repeat. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads, and faces. And he has ears everywhere. In this way, the Supersoul exists, pervading everything. Purport. As the sun exists, diffusing its unlimited rays, so does the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He exists in his all-pervading form, and in him exist all the individual living entities, beginning from the first great teacher Brahma down to the small ants. There are unlimited heads, legs, hands, and eyes, and unlimited living entities. All are existing in and on the Supersoul. Therefore, the Supersoul is all-pervading. The individual soul, however, cannot say that he has his hands, legs, and eyes everywhere. That is not possible. If he thinks that under ignorance he is not conscious that his hands and legs are diffused all over, but when he attains to proper knowledge, he will come to that stage. His thinking is contradictory. This means that the individual soul, having become conditioned by material nature, is not supreme. The supreme is different from the individual soul. The Supreme Lord can extend his hand without limit. The individual soul cannot. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, that if anyone offers him a flower or a fruit or a little water, he accepts it. If the Lord is a far distance away, how can he accept things? This is the omnipotence of the Lord. Even though he is situated in his own abode, far, far away from the earth, he can extend his hand to accept what anyone offers. That is his potency. In the Brahma Sanhita it is stated, Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuta. Although he is always engaged in pastimes in his transcendental planet, he is all-pervading. The individual soul cannot claim that he is all-pervading. Therefore, this verse describes the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, not the individual soul. Text number 15. Sarvendriya guna bhasam Sarvendriya vivarjitam Asaktam sarva brichchaiva Nirgunam guna boktracha. Synonyms: sarva, of all; indriya, senses; guna, of the qualities; abhasam, the original source; sarva, all; indriya, senses; vivarjitam, being without; asaktam, without attachment; sarvabrit, the maintainer of everyone; cha, also; eva, certainly; nirgunam, without material qualities; gunaboktri, master of the gunas; cha, also. The Supersoul is the original source of all senses. Yet he is without senses. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living beings. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. So I have a question. There is one part of this translation which I find to be something which appears to be a contradiction. What part of this translation seems to be contradictory to what we know about Supersoul? Ah, yes! Very good, Jai Krishnadas. This is why you are a Brahman. You have transcendental intelligence. So let's see if Prabhupada answers this conundrum in the purport. If he doesn't, I will. Let's look at the purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Lord, although the source of all the senses of the living entities, doesn't have material senses like they have. Notice the words material senses. Actually, the individual souls have spiritual senses, but in conditioned life, they are covered with the material elements, and therefore the sense activities are exhibited through matter. The Supreme Lord's senses are not so covered. His senses are transcendental and are therefore called nirguna. Guna means the material modes, but his senses are without material covering. So Prabhupada is answering it. Because he says, but his senses. The translation said he didn't have senses. But he's already explained it. When it says he has no senses, it means he has no material senses. His senses are transcendental and are therefore called nirguna. Guna means the material modes. But his senses are without material covering. It should be understood that his senses are not exactly like ours. Although he is the source of all our sensory activities, he has his transcendental senses which are uncontaminated. So I will ask Mahul. Ready, Mahul? I want you to think. If someone were to tell you that Krishna's senses are contaminated, what kind of person would I be? If I said to you, Krishna's senses are contaminated, what kind of person does that automatically make me? Yes! Yes, Mahul! Yes! Excellent. Very good, Mahul. I'm very proud of you. Are you proud of him? Krishna Kumar? Very nice, Mahul. Very good, Mahul. Mahul, I want you to come to every class of mine. I don't care if you're dead. You come to every class of mine. All right, that's very good. And let's welcome Chakrarap Das from Panama. And Kamlesh has joined us online as well. Let's say Hari Bol to Chakrarap and Kamlesh who have joined us. Hari Bol, Kamlesh, and Chakrarap. Both of Chakrarap is a big, big follower of Bhagavad Gita. He studies it every day. And Kamlesh says Hare Krishna. Hey, atta boy, Kamlesh. Very good. Jai. Although he is the source of all of our sensory activities, he has his transcendental senses, which are uncontaminated. This is very nicely explained in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, in the verse, Apani Pado Javano Grahita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no hands which are materially contaminated, but he has his hands and accepts whatever sacrifice is offered to him. By the way, this line, Apani Pado Javano Grahita, that line was quoted by Lord Chaitanya when he was converting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When they were having a discussion on Vedanta, Lord Chaitanya was trying to convert Sarvabhauma from a Mayavadi into Vaishnava. And he used this line, quoting that the Lord, even though he doesn't have material senses, he still accepts everything that we offer him. So this is a very important line from the Upanishads. Let's continue. That is the distinction between the conditioned soul and the supersoul. The supersoul has no material eyes, but he has eyes. Otherwise, how could he see? He sees everything, past, present, and future. He lives within the heart of the living being, and he knows what we have done in the past, what we are doing now, and what is awaiting us in the future. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. He knows everything, but no one knows him. It is said that the Supreme Lord has no legs like us, but he can travel throughout space because he has spiritual legs. In other words, the Lord is not impersonal. He has his eyes, legs, hands, and everything else. And because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we also have these things. But his hands, legs, eyes, and senses are not contaminated by material nature. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that when the Lord appears, he appears as he is by his internal potency. By the way, we studied that in chapter 4. In chapter 4, we studied that very same point, that he appears by his internal potency. Again, if I ask Mehul, if I say that Krishna appears by the material, if Krishna appears by the material or external potency, what kind of philosopher am I? What else? Yes, Mayavadi. Very good, Mahul. You can always tell when somebody reads Prabhupada's books, how they speak. Very good, Mahul. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that when the Lord appears, he appears as he is by his internal potency. I will ask Krishna Kumar, who is the ultimate personal manifestation of the internal potency? Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Thank you, Krishna Kumar. He is not contaminated by the material energy because he is the Lord of the material energy. Rama, did you find the verse in chapter 4? Huh? You're trying to find it? When you find it, let us know. What you're looking for is the first line of this paragraph. When the Lord appears, he appears as he is by his internal potency. When you find it, let us know. We're going to continue. Very good. Can you read the translation? What's the translation? Very good. That's the verse. That's exactly the verse in chapter 4. Let us continue. In the Vedic literature, we find that his whole embodiment is spiritual. He has his eternal form called Satchid Ananda Vigraha. He is full of all opulence. He is the proprietor of all wealth and the owner of all energy. He is the most intelligent and he is full of knowledge. These are some of the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the maintainer of all living entities and the witness of all activity. As far as we can understand from Vedic literature, the Supreme Lord is always transcendental. Although we do not see his head, face, hands, or legs, he has them. And when we are elevated to the transcendental situation, we can see the Lord's form. Due to materially contaminated senses, we cannot see his form. That's an important sentence. Due to materially contaminated senses, we cannot see his form. Therefore, what is Lord Chaitanya's first instruction? Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Cleanse the mirror of the heart. When it's clean, then you can see God. Prabhupada used to preach, how can you possibly see God with material eyes? It's not possible. And even the Brahma Sanhita says, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena. You have to smear your eyes with the ointment of love of God. Then you can see. Yes, Mahul has a question.
It seems as if the intellect or the mind, whatever it is,
Yes. Both. The way to argue with it is to defeat it with the knowledge of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We have to keep in mind, because Prabhupada already said, we have our spiritual senses, but right now it's covered by these material senses. So we are conditioned. All of us are conditioned to a greater or lesser degree by our material senses, including mind and intelligence. Now, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that is all being cleansed. Now, Lord Kapila is an incarnation of Krishna. He says by the process of bhakti, the subtle material body is dissolved. When the subtle material body is dissolved, what remains? No, the soul. If you dissolve that subtle material body, you've reached the real you, that self-realization. You have dissolved the subtle material body. So, by reading Prabhupada's books, by following the instructions of the spiritual master, you are purifying the mind and intelligence and strengthening and nourishing your spiritual senses. For instance, materially, someone looks and thinks we're worshiping idols, because they look like material objects. To the gross senses, he can't argue with them. Yes, from where you're, like my father, he thinks I worship an idol. Of course, he doesn't have transcendental knowledge. The only way that we can do this is because we have accepted. The Vedas tell us, don't think like that. The Vedas tell us, no, don't think like that. So you do like an override with your mind. The guru says, no, this is not a stone statue. The other spiritual devotees are also telling you, no, this is not a stone statue. And the shastras are saying, no, this is not a stone statue. You override your material conditioning and you accept. Now you continue with hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. Little by little, you get some appreciation. Just like over the years, because I've been with Krishna Kumar, my son, since 2000. What year was it we started, my son? 2002. So over the years, Krishna Kumar has shared with me some very deep realizations. Over the years, you have told me, which is proof of the process. Proof of the process. Because now you can't go back. Even if you wanted to go back, you can't go back. Because you already have some tangible experiences and taste. And as that grows, then you become a staunch preacher. No. Yes. Yes. You see what I'm... Does it make sense to you? Go ahead. Yes. Therefore, you have to chant, And you have to read. And stay humble. Yes. Yes, Jai Krishnadas. That is correct. But, yes. Yes. No, that's fine. That's one explanation. That's an acceptable explanation. But the story of Sakshi Gopal, when the Brahmin went to the deity and said, I need you to come and testify. And the deities spoke back and said, I'm a stone statue. How can I come and testify? And the young Brahmin said, if you can talk to me, then you can walk. So that story of Sakshi Gopal, for me, that's everything. Because that deity walked hundreds of miles. No stone statue. This deity is not going to walk out the door. Well, if you have that. Right. But no, you don't see a stone statue walking. Yet, you're entitled to as many questions as you want. You're Mehul. Oh yes, that's ecstatic. Well, you're not going to reach the stage of Lord Chaitanya, but you can come to the stage of ecstasy in your own little way. Yes, it's all a question of how serious you practice Krishna consciousness. Level of dedication. Yes, you can achieve ecstasy of love of Godhead. Okay? That's right. Yes. Yes. That would correlate to what Jai Krishnadas was saying. Very good. Excellent. Shall we go to text number 16? Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charam eva cha sukshmat bhattad abhigyeyam durastam jantike chatat. Synonyms: bahi, outside, anta, inside, cha, also, bhutanam, of all living entities, acharam, not moving, charam, moving, eva, also, cha, and, sukshmatvat, on account of being subtle, tat, that, avigyayam, unknowable, durastam, far away, cha, also, antike, near, cha, and, tat, that. Please repeat. The Supreme Truth exists outside and inside of all living beings. The moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, He is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, He is also near to all. So, this verse, according to my friend Chuck Groth, he says this is the best verse. So he is entitled to his ecstasy. He likes this verse. So, the Supreme Truth exists outside because Krishna lives in His abode, yes? Krishna lives in... And He's inside, right? As what? As Super Soul Paramatma. And Paramatma is both in moving beings and non-moving beings, like trees, plants, okay? He is subtle. He is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. But you will find a verse in the Upanishads that He is revealed to the spiritual senses. Yes, He's not revealed to the material senses, but when you engage in devotional service, gradually He is revealed to the purified or spiritual senses. Beginning with what sense do we begin? That's tongue. With the tongue, your service begins. Sevan muke hi jivadao. Svayam eva sparati. That's the verse. Here's the verse. The verse is, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi. Na bhaved grayam indriyai. This first line says, Krishna is not perceivable by the material senses. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grayam indriyai. By material senses, you cannot understand Krishna. Then the next two lines. Atak Shri Krishna Namabhaved grayam sevon mukehi jivado. When you begin service with the tongue, swayam, personally, eva, certainly, spurati, He reveals. So that's why we emphasize chanting. Because that is how Krishna becomes revealed. Notice the verse said, Atakshi Krishna Nama Adi. First you have to realize Krishna's name. First, you first have to appreciate Krishna's name. Then everything comes after that. So that's why the process is chanting. Harinama eva kevalam. Your service begins with the tongue. So you use your tongue to chant Krishna's name. And you use your tongue to eat what? Krishna prasad. With these two things, svayam eva sparati adha, Krishna begins to reveal Himself. He reveals, not to the material contaminated senses. That's why this verse is saying, He is beyond the power of the material senses. So you may be a big scientist, you may be Einstein. Doesn't matter. You're never going to see God. You have to accept God's process. And God's process is you do devotional service, beginning with your tongue. Chant His name, eat prasad. That is the process. Yes, Mahul. Yes. There are three stages of chanting. We begin from the offensive stage. Then you get initiated. When you get initiated, you're now on the second stage, known as the stage of clearing the offenses. You learn what the offenses are, and then you conscientiously avoid committing offenses. When there are no more offenses, now you're on the pure stage of chanting. So, keep reading Prabhupada's books. Please continue to attend my classes. Associate with these other pure devotees. See around you. These are all pure devotees. You will be nicely situated. Okay? Yes. Yes. That is correct. Very good. Although far, far away, because where's Goloka Vrindavan? Yes, it's beyond and beyond the material. He is also near to all, because where is he? He's right there in the heart. Nobody can get closer. All right. Let us go now to the purport. In Vedic literature, we understand that Narayan, the Supreme Person, is residing both outside and inside of every living entity. What do we sing? Every program, Krishna Kumar sings in the Sringa prayers. By here in the Sringa, Ridaye in the Sringa. He's inside, he's outside. He is present in both the spiritual and material worlds. Although he is far, far away, still he is near to us. These are the statements of Vedic literature. Asino duram rajati, shayano yati sarvata. And because he is always engaged in transcendental bliss, we cannot understand how he is enjoying his full opulence. We cannot see or understand with these material senses. Therefore, in the Vedic language, it is said that to understand him, our material mind and senses cannot act. But one who has purified his minds and senses by practicing Krishna consciousness in devotional service can see him constantly. It is confirmed in Brahma Samhita that the devotee who has developed love for the Supreme God can see him always without cessation. And it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, verse 54, that he can be seen and understood only by devotional service. Bhaktya tunanyaya shakya. Yes, Mahulji. Go on. The best way to please Radharani and the gopis is to please your spiritual master. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada nagati katopi. Dayam stuvam stasya yashastri sandhyam. Vande guru sri charanada bindam. We are not on the platform yet, where we can directly serve Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. Our first access code is the spiritual master. That's why acceptance of a spiritual master, we've read it hundreds of times in this Bhagavad Gita. Hundreds! Every chapter, Prabhupada is saying, first thing is you have to accept the spiritual master. Yes, Krishna Kumar Das.
So
Does he have a spiritual master in disciplic succession? Does he have a spiritual master who is teaching him the actual message of Krishna? That is the question that has to be asked. That's fine. How many Vaishnav Sampradayas are there? Four Vaishnava Sampradayas. It has to be one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. We don't have an objection. If you are in Ramanuja Sampradaya, we don't hate you. It has to be one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. That is the next question. Okay, you have the Ramanuja, Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is ours. Balabhachari is accepted. That's also accepted, and you could say a fifth one, because his Pushti Marg is a bhakti, and he was accepted by Lord Chaitanya. So that's acceptable. No, it's a separate. He is. But we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how he was accepted and blessed by Lord Chaitanya. So he is the founder Acharya of that Pushti Marg. And because of his connection with Lord Chaitanya, we don't have a problem with that. Understand? So, did we answer this question, Krishna Kumar Das? Then, I'm sorry. Then we have to find out what is your Sampradaya and what is its philosophy. No. They're saying who said it has to be like that? Well, we're saying Prabhupada. If they don't accept Prabhupada, then I've got no business with them. That's fine. Anyway, there are so many Sampradayas. All right, what is their philosophy? What is their lineage? What is their origin? We trace our back to Krishna. Where do they trace theirs back to? That is the question. Show me your Sampradaya. Go ahead. And most importantly, what is the philosophy? Whatever Sampradaya you're saying that it's not these four. Okay, it's not these four. Then show me what is your philosophy. It's only going to be two philosophies. It's either personalism or impersonalism. That's it. Either you accept the personal form of God. If this person, whoever it may be, says they have a bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, then they have to accept our basic principles. God is a person, the soul is the eternal servant of God. If their philosophy does not have that, they're Mayavad. We can be very, very liberal. Okay, you don't want to be in one of the four major Sampradayas? Okay, what is your philosophy? Let's hear it. What is your basic philosophy? All right, I have to calm down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Let's go to verse number 17. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam eva chastitam bhuta pratri tachaj gyeyam grasishnu prabhavishnu cha avibhaktam without division cha also bhuteshu in all living beings vibhaktam divided eva as if cha also stitam situated bhuta bratri the maintainer of all living entities cha also tat that gyayam to be understood grasishnu devouring prabhavishnu developing cha also please repeat although the supersoul appears to be divided among all beings he is never divided he is situated as one although he is the maintainer of every living entity it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. So this verse is actually explained nicely by Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev gives the example that there's one sun in the sky. Only one. And if in the noonday you put 1,000 water pots, fill them with water. If you look at noon, how many suns will you see? 1,000 suns. But there's only one sun. So that's the thing. Super souls in all of our hearts, individually. So he appears to be divided. But there's only one super soul. Yes. That's right. Very good. Let us look at the purport while Mahul thinks of his next question. Okay, you want to ask it now? Go ahead. You should fear forgetting God. You should fear disobeying God. You should fear losing God. Like you wrote me recently. You never want to lose what you have gained so far and in terms of your Krishna consciousness. Didn't you write me recently? You don't want to lose this. So there are examples of fearing God. One should fear disobeying the laws of God because one will experience his vengeance or wrath if one disobeys. Just like the Father. The son loves the father, but the son also fears the father because the father can also punish the son. Right? The father has that ability. If the son is disobedient, if the son is offensive, then the loving father will show a different face. Just like I have seen here in this house. How Krishna Kumar can manifest different faces with family members. No, I'm not saying anything wrong with it. Sometimes, because of certain things, you had to. Right? No, but at times, you, because you're the head of this family, right? You're the head. We saw that with Prabhupada too. Prabhupada could be very, very loving, but other times Prabhupada could be very heavy. That's what it means. Yes, that is the first step in God consciousness. Understanding that everything in nature is a manifestation of the universal form of the Lord. So when you see the sun, that's the eye of the universal, or the moon. The birds are manifesting the artistic sense of the universal form. The horizon, all the beautiful aspects of nature should remind you how wonderful is Krishna. Because these things are manifesting these opulences only by Krishna's grace. So yes, that is God consciousness. Seeing everything in terms of the personal form of the Lord. Okay? Let us continue. So we're in the purport of verse number 17. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. Does this mean that He has become divided? No, actually He is one. The example is given of the sun. The sun at the meridian is situated in its place. But if one goes for 5,000 miles in all directions and asks, where is the sun? Everyone will say that it is shining on his head. In the Vedic literature, this example is given to show that although he is undivided, he is situated as if divided. Also, it is said in the Vedic literature that one Vishnu is present everywhere by his omnipotence. Just as the sun appears in many places to many persons. And the Supreme Lord, although the maintainer of every living entity, devours everything at the time of annihilation. This was confirmed in the 11th chapter when the Lord said that He had come to devour all the warriors assembled at Kurukshetra. If let's recall, that's when Arjuna asked the universal form, who are you? What is your mission? And the universal form responded, time I am, and I come to destroy all people. All these soldiers are dead, except for the five Pandavas. Let us continue. This was confirmed in the 11th chapter, when the Lord said that He had come to devour all the warriors assembled at Kurukshetra. He also mentioned that in the form of time He devours all. He is the annihilator, the killer of all. When there is creation, He develops all from their original state, and at the time of annihilation, He devours them. The Vedic hymns confirm the fact that He is the origin of all living entities and the rest of all. After creation, everything rests in His omnipotence, and after annihilation, everything again returns to rest in Him. These are the confirmations of the Vedic hymns, Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhishang vishanti tad brahma tid vijigyasavasva. Text number 18. Jyotisham api taj jyotis tamasa paramuchyate Jnanam Gyeyam Jnana Gamyam Riddhi Sarvasya Vishtitam Jyotisham. In all luminous objects, api, also, tat, that, jyoti, the source of light, tamasa, the darkness, param, beyond, uchyate, is said, jnanam, knowledge, jyeyam, to be known, jnanagamyam, to be approached by knowledge, hridi, in the heart, sarvasya, of everyone, vishtitam, situated. So here is yet another verse that explains how Supersoul is in the heart. I, in my studies, have found at least 5 verses in Bhagavad Gita which stipulate that the Lord is in the heart. Here is a direct one. Notice the line, hridi sarvasya vishtitam, in situated in the heart of everyone. Please repeat. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge. And he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. Yes, Mahul. Yes, he is beyond light and darkness, because light and darkness are relative material terms. So, this material world by nature is dark. The only reason there's light is because Krishna has put a light bulb known as the sun planet. Otherwise, this universe is like a coconut. No sun, it would be completely dark. So, he is beyond, yes, adhoksaja, everyone say. He is beyond the material mind and senses. Okay. I believe so, yes. Yeah, it would have to come afterwards, because all the planets were lying at the bottom of the Garbhaduk ocean. Yeah, so it was dark all around. Yes. Purport. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of light in all luminous objects like the sun, moon, and stars. In the Vedic literature we find that in the spiritual kingdom there is no need of sun or moon, because the effulgence of the Supreme Lord is there. In the material world, that Brahma Jyoti, the Lord's spiritual effulgence, is covered by the Mahatattva, the material elements. Therefore, in this material world, we require the assistance of sun, moon, electricity, etc. for light. But in the spiritual world, there is no need of such things. It is clearly stated in the Vedic literature that because of his luminous effulgence, everything is illuminated. It is clear. Therefore, that is his situation, is not in the material world. He is situated in the spiritual world, which is far, far away in the spiritual sky. That is also confirmed in the Vedic literature. Aditya Varnang Tamasap Parastat. He is just like the sun, eternally luminous, but he is far, far beyond the darkness of this material world. His knowledge is transcendental. The Vedic literature confirms that Brahman is concentrated transcendental knowledge. To one who is anxious to be transferred to the spiritual world, knowledge is given by the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. One Vedic mantra says, Tang Hadevam Atma Buddhi Prakasham Mumukshurvai Sharanam Ahang Prapadye. One must surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he at all wants liberation. As far as the goal of ultimate knowledge is concerned, it is also confirmed in Vedic literature. Tam eva viditvati mrityum eti. Only by knowing him can one surpass the boundary of birth and death. He is situated in everyone's heart as the Supreme Controller. The Supreme has legs and hands distributed everywhere, and this cannot be said of the individual soul. Therefore, that there are two knowers of the field of activity, the individual soul and the supersoul, must be admitted. One's hands and legs are distributed locally, but Krishna's hands and legs are distributed everywhere. This is confirmed in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Sarvasya Prabhum Ishanang Sarvasya Sharanang Brihat. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supersoul, is the Prabhu, or Master, of all living entities. Therefore, he is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. So there is no denying the fact that the Supreme Supersoul and the individual soul are always different. Yes, Mahul. Oh, I'm sure if we combed the prayers of the Bhagavatam, we would find such an appropriate prayer. Off the top of my head, I cannot say, I have not, but I'm sure we would find such a prayer in the Bhagavatam. Well, Tenth Canto has lots of prayers in it, but yes. All right, very good. No, you can ask now. Yes. Sanjaya was able to see by the mercy of Vyas. Arjuna was given the divine eyes. But Sanjaya was able to see everything by the mercy of Vyas. Ah, so your question is, why didn't Vyasadeva give mercy to his blind brother? Well, you want me to speculate? Is that what you want? Well, I will give you, if you're interested, I will give you speculation. And Rama already hinted at it. First of all, Dhritarashtra is not Vyasadeva's disciple. One has to serve the spiritual master as a menial servant. One has to satisfy the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is pleased, then one can see things properly. So if Dhritarashtra had been submissive, humble, had given up his partiality to his sons, anything is possible by the grace of great personalities like Krishna or great saintly persons. But one has to be qualified. And that qualification, Krishna Kumar already pointed out, as we learned at the end of the previous section. Humility. Everything depends on humility. Does that answer your question? I didn't say there's more than one reason. That's my speculation. Yes? That's a possible explanation. That's fine. Yes, that's true. I can't argue with that. Krishna Kumar, you have something to chime in? So her answer is, Dhritarashtra was not interested in these things. Dhritarashtra had only one interest. My son and me should rule. That was his desire. As you want to see, I'm not going to disagree. Okay, Mahul, doesn't matter. Yes. We learned in chapter 5, nor does the Supreme Spirit accept anyone's sinful or pious reactions. You cannot blame God for your lot in life. That's a very bad and very common cop-out. People give that as an excuse. Well, I am what I am and I can't improve because that's the way God made me. No. The Vaishnava philosophy is I take responsibility. I am the way I am because of me, not because of somebody else. And definitely not because of God. Because if you start doing that, you'll become an atheist. You'll become a demon. Because the demon says, I don't care for God. He put me in this hellish situation. Screw him. I don't care for him. Which is why I don't like the philosophy that some devotees present, that we were not originally with Krishna, and that we were always here. If that's the philosophy, then I too would become an atheist. Because then I would say, wait a second. I'm starting off as a prisoner? What did I do that I'm starting off as a prisoner? Then I too would become an atheist. Krishna says you don't return. Yes, yes. Do you believe Krishna? Yes. But could you? Yes. Why could you? free. Ah, thank you, Rama. You still have free will. Of course, without free will, there's no love. Potentially, yes. But what does Krishna say? Several times in Bhagavad Gita, you don't. I bank on Krishna. That's right. That is right. Very good, Mahal. Can we do another verse? Text number 19. Krishna Kumar, we may have a small crowd tonight, but it's serious. It's fine. We have the serious student. All right. Okay. Yes. And we have 18 devotees online. We have Bhakti Devi in Vancouver, Chakrarath in Panama, Devavati in Mayapur, Gopal in Los Angeles, Kamlesh in Laguna Beach, Monica Sharma in Australia, Rohit in Calcutta, Vidyananda in Alachua. Very good. What do you mean they can see? They can see the other names? Yes. They can see the other names. Oh, and Meenakshi's there and Arjuna's there also. Very good. Okay. Right. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Iti kshetram tata jnanam gyeyam choktam samasata madbhakta etad vigyaya madbhavayopapadyate iti thus. Kshetram, the field of activities, the body. Tata, also, jnanam, knowledge. Gyeyam, the knowable. Cha, also. Uktam, described. Samasata, in summary. Matvakta, my devotee. Etat, all this. Vigyaya, after understanding. Matbhavaya, to my nature. Upapadyate, attains. This question is for anyone who thinks they can answer it. What is Krishna's nature? Transcendental, what else? I'm looking for three words. Oh, Mahul. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Eternal, full of knowledge, and that is Krishna's nature. While you already have it, we already have it, but right now it's what? Covered. Krishna Kumar. Correcto. It's covered. And I wish that Jyoti Mayir would join us for the discussion so that she can answer some of the questions. Yes, we have a chair for you, Jyoti Mayi. So please come into the pool. All right, please repeat. Thus, the field of activities, the body, knowledge, and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. So we're coming to the end of the section. All night tonight we have been hearing about, we heard one verse about soul, All the other verses have been about super soul, Paramatma. And as this chapter develops, there's going to be even more about super soul. But at least now, Krishna is finishing up this section. Purport. The Lord has described in summary the body, knowledge, and the knowable. This knowledge is of three things: the knower, the knowable, and the process of knowing. Combined, these are called vijnana, or the science of knowledge. Perfect knowledge can be understood by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord directly. Others are unable to understand. The monists say that at the ultimate stage, these three items become one. But the devotees do not accept this. Knowledge and development of knowledge mean understanding oneself in Krishna consciousness. We are being led by material consciousness, but as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. The line in chapter 7, Rama, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Samahatma Sudula. Krishna is everything. We are being led by material consciousness, but as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. In other words, knowledge is nothing but the preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. Notice, if you recall, when Hiranyakashipu asked his son Prahlad, what was the best thing you learned? Prahlad's response was the nine processes of devotional service. And he said, this is the topmost education. Not what they were trying to teach him in the school. Prahlad said, this nine items of devotional service is the topmost education. Tanmanye ditam uttamam. That's what the five-year-old boy told his demoniac father. Let us continue. In other words, knowledge is nothing but the preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. In the 15th chapter, this will be very clearly explained. Yes. Now, to summarize, one may understand that verses 6 and 7, beginning from Mahabhutani, and continuing through Chaitanya Dritti, analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life. These combine to form the body or the field of activities. And verses 8 through 12, from Amanitvam through Tattva Gyanartha Darshanam, describe the process of knowledge for understanding both types of the knower of the field of activities, namely the soul and the super soul. Then verses 13 through 18, beginning from Anadi Matparam and continuing through Hridi Sarvasya Vishtitam, describe the soul and the Supreme Lord or the super soul. Jai. Jai. That's all right. You sit now, or you can sit on the couch, wherever you are comfortable. We want you to join this class of advanced devotees. Jai. Thus, three items have been described: the field of activity, the body, the process of understanding, and both the soul and the super soul. It is especially described here that only the unalloyed devotees of the Lord can understand these three items clearly. Notice, what did we learn in chapter 4? Why was Krishna accepting Arjuna as the recipient of Bhagavad Gita? What were Arjuna's two qualifications? Hearing this back from my students makes me very happy. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. Very good. Friend and devotee. Bhakta sakha. Right? Very good. We have passed our examination of Bhagavad Gita for today. By the way, Mahul, that was verse number 3 of chapter 4. In case you want to brush up on that, because it is something that I will repeat quite regularly, because it's one of the big items of Bhagavad Gita. In other words, only devotees and not others can understand Bhagavad Gita and derive the desired result. Mahul, what would you think is the desired result of understanding Bhagavad Gita? Oh! That answer is so perfect. Oh, the liberation's insignificant byproduct of love of God. Mahul? Huh? Yes. Oh, Mahul. Wow. Jai. Very good. Okay, let's continue text number 20. Prakritiṃ puruṣaṃ caiva vidyanādi ubhāvapi vikāraṃ ca guṇāṃ caiva vidhi prakriti sambhavān. Prakritiṃ, material nature. Puruṣaṃ, the living entities. Ca, also. Eva, certainly. Vidhi, you must know. Anadi, without beginning. Ubhau, both. Api, also. Vikaran, transformations. Cha, also. Gunan, the three modes of nature. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Vidhi, no. Prakriti, material nature. Sambhavan, produced of. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. So, the reason why material nature and the living entities are beginningless is because their energies emanating from Krishna. That's why they're beginningless. Their energies. Just like with this flame, the energies of heat and light simultaneously exist. It's not that first we had the fire, then we had the lit. No. Everything is there simultaneously. So the energies of Krishna are simultaneously there with Krishna. That's all right. That's all right. But the thing is, the living entity itself, the soul, is beginningless. As we learned in chapter 2, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Neither in the future shall we ever cease to be. And we learned earlier today, Prabhupada said, you cannot trace out the manifestation of the jiva from the Supreme Lord. So that's why it was said, anadi, beginningless. We always existed. Yes, but we always existed. That's the way to think. You always existed. Because, Ajo, we were never born. Just as did Krishna, he's always there. There's no birthday of Krishna. So the same thing applies to the soul. We are part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, we always existed. When I was in Guadalajara, I was speaking to local people. And one man in the audience, after hearing my presentation of how the soul always existed, he said, "Thank you very much. You have made me very happy." Because this was the first time he had ever heard this. So he heard me, he understood it, he accepted it, and he said it made him very happy. It's a very powerful piece of information. We always existed. No beginning, no end. Okay. By the knowledge given in this chapter, one can understand the body, the field of activities, and the knowers of the body, both the individual soul and the super soul. The body is the field of activity and is composed of material nature. The individual soul that is embodied and enjoying the activities of the body is the Purusha, or the living entity. He is one knower, and the other is the super soul. Of course, it is to be understood that both the super soul and the individual entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the super soul is in the category of his personal expansion. Now, we already learned this in chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 5, if you want to quickly go to chapter 7, verse 5, this is where Prabhupada is getting this, that we are in the category of his energy. Besides this material nature inferior, there is another superior energy of mind known as the living entity. Marginal energy, fine. Another synonym. So that's where Prabhupada is getting that. Krishna is claiming the soul to be one of his energies. Okay? And the super soul is in the category of his personal expansion. The technical term Svangsha and Vibhinangsha. Svangsha means personal expansion. Vishnu, Narayan, Balaram, all the avatars, those are Svangsha, Krishna's personal, and we are Vibhinangsha, separated, infinitesimal, separated expansions. We are not, unfortunately, don't get upset, you are not Krishna's personal expansion. If you were, then we would worship you. Because then you would be on the level of God. No, demigods are Vibhinangsha. They're not personal expansion. Demigods are separated. They are also the jiva. Only one exception to the rule, Lord Shiva, who's in between Svangsha and Vibhinangsha. He's in his own unique category, Shiva Tattva. All right, let us continue. Both material nature and the living entity are eternal. That is to say that they existed before the creation. The material manifestation is from the energy of the Supreme Lord, and so also are the living entities. But the living entities are of the superior energy. Both the living entities and material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. Material nature was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, and when it was required, it was manifested by the agency of the Mahatattva. Similarly, the living entities are also in Him because they are conditioned, they are averse to serving the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual sky. But with the coming forth of material nature, these living entities are given a chance to act in the material world and prepare themselves to enter into the spiritual world. That is the mystery of this material creation. Actually, the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within material nature. It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. In the scriptures, the Lord says that those attracted by this material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence. But we should know with certainty from the descriptions of these few verses that all transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes are also productions of material nature. All transformations and variety in respect to living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same. All right, what is your question? Okay, so prior to Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had defeated many personalities. Arjuna had already proven his prowess as a chastiser of enemies. He and Krishna did many things together. Arjuna even defeated Lord Shiva in battle, and Lord Shiva gave him a certain benediction. So it's referring to Arjuna's, already he has great accolades as a fighter. It just means it's a way reminding everybody who Arjuna is. The fact that he doesn't want to fight the battle and the fact that he's calling him a great chastiser of the enemy is actually a slap. Because up until... he doesn't want to fight. Yet, previous to this, he's known as a fighter. So when you address somebody and the way they're supposed to be and they're not, that's actually a mild form of chastisement. Why not? Because it's a fact. Sanjaya knows. Sanjaya knows who Arjuna is? You don't think Sanjaya knows who Arjuna is? Huh? Sanjaya knows who Arjuna is. Sanjaya is probably also astonished. He knows what Arjuna is. Huh? He's telling Dhritarashtra. Yes. Why?
Why he has to do what you say. Who do you think, whose side do you think Sanjay is on? Who does Sanjay want to win? Take a guess. Yes. Yes. Arjuna never goes to Krishna Loka. He always stays in the material world and performs Krishna's pastimes. Yeah, he's part of Krishna's personal entourage in the material world. Pandavas. You know, wait. Anyway, there's a certain circle. They don't go back to the spiritual world. They perpetually are with Krishna. As soon as one pastime is performed on this planet, it's immediately performed on another planet. Just like tonight I'm here, tomorrow I'm going to be in Laguna Beach. I'm always performing some preaching somewhere, unless I'm sick. Yes, we discussed that point before. When you have love of God, it doesn't matter where you are. When you have love of God, you are in the spiritual world. In the case of Arjuna, if he's always with Krishna, where is he? Even though, okay, Arjuna's on the battle of Kurukshetra. But who's he with? He's with Krishna. The spiritual world is where Krishna is. Right? So if Krishna is always in the material world and Arjuna is always with him, just like our friend Kamlesh, he wants to be like Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra, somehow or other. Okay? You understand? So yes, it's sort of like that. Arjuna has received that special benediction that perpetually he's with Krishna all the time, living out these different pastimes. Okay? Shall we have arti? All rise and worship the Supreme Personality.